Well, good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
And greetings from the Christchurch Christian Care Center. Sarah and I are so excited to be here. We've been planning and preparing for this time over several months, and we're finally here. It's so good to see you in person. We've come over to reconnect with you. The last time we were here was 19 years ago, so it's a long, long time ago. But it's so good to be back. And God willing, after the service, during lunch, we'd want to chat with you a little bit more. So please do that and come and speak with us. So there is one of these booklets at the back. You can take one away with you. It tells you a little bit more about our ministry. And we'd love for you to pray for our ministry. And I know that you've been doing that. But keep praying for us. You know, prayer moves the hand of God. So the more you pray, that'll greatly encourage us in our ministry there. And we'd love for you to come. As Scott mentioned, he's been there twice. And he's the only member of this church who's been twice to the care center. But we'd love for you to come and have a South African experience. Get involved in the lives of the kid. Get to see them. Get a personal relationship with them going. Get involved, get your hands dirty, as it were, in their everyday lives. So we'd really invite you to come and do that at the care center. This church has supported us for many, many years financially, and your gifts have come in regularly. And we're so grateful to the Lord for that. And we pray that you'll continue to do that going forward, that you'll continue to support our ministry by praying, by giving, and also by coming. So there's a lot that you can learn about our ministry from this booklet. So I trust that you'll take one of those copies and read through that. We also have a video presentation, a 10-minute video presentation. I believe we'll do that during the lunchtime here in this venue. So please stick around for that. But the care center has moved from where it was in Johannesburg. In April 2021, my dad passed away, and I stepped down from my pastoral duties at the church. Together with Sarah and myself, we headed up now this ministry. And one of the first things we wanted to do was to relocate our ministry. Hillbrow, Berea, the area we're in, is very, very notorious for crime, for poverty, for noise pollution, for air pollution. All sorts of vice that you can think about is present in that area. And, it was a concrete jungle where the children were living in. And so one of the first things we wanted to do is change the scenery for them. And so we began looking for another venue in an agricultural area with large land for the children to have space for recreation. Here in Hillbrow, Berea, there was no space. I remember every December, we'd have to replace windows. And the one year, we replaced over 100 window panes because the children would keep breaking them because they had no recreation space. So now the hand of the Lord has been good to us, and He led us to this new property that we have in a place called Centurion. It's a wonderful property. It used to be a bed and breakfast property that we bought. So it's wonderfully set up for the kind of ministry that we are doing right now. In total, it has 6 acres of land. So the children have plenty place to run around. We want to start up our own vegetable farm as well, so we can become self-sufficient and not go to the store to buy our vegetable. We want to be able to grow that for ourselves. Going forward, we also want to start a skills vocation training center where some of our children who are not so academic after they graduate grade 12 can learn a skill, and can start up their own business, become entrepreneurs, and create employment for themselves and for others. So there's exciting things happening in this ministry, and you are a part of this ministry. You've been a part of this ministry for almost 20 years now, and we're so grateful to the Lord for that. But we want you to come. It's a long flight. It's 20 hours to get to Johannesburg. It's a long flight, but it's a flight well worth it. You will really, really, enjoy your time. Everyone that has come once has come again and again and again. So once you come the first time, you'll get hooked. And I guarantee you, my brothers and sisters, you'll keep on coming. You'll make it part of your yearly or activity to come down and do ministry with us there at the care center. So continue to pray, continue to give financially, but come as well. Well, we're going to turn to God's word right now. So if you have a Bible with you, I want you to open it to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and I want to read from verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, read from verse 10. If you have one of the church Bibles, it's page 830 in the New Testament section. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll read from verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. We'll read thus far. Well, come, let's pray. Our Father, as we turn to your word now, we pray, Lord, that your word, the good seed, may fall on good soil in our hearts this morning. Father, help us to give your word our full and undivided attention. And Lord, as we listen to your word, help us to understand your word this morning. Help us, Lord, to go away meditating upon your word. Help us, Lord, to put your word into practice. We want to be the wise man, the wise woman who hears your word and does what it says. And so we pray that you'll speak by your Spirit this morning in Jesus' name. And for his namesake, amen. Friends, the title of my sermon this morning is The Christian's Battle. I remember in December 1990, I was part of a missions team to Mozambique. One night, just before bedtime, our camp was caught in a crossfire between two rival groups. And the bullets and the hand grenades were flying between our camp. It was a very, very scary time for us. And my brothers and sisters, this reminds us of the reality that we are living in a world that is marked by hatred, violence, and death. We see this in our world all around. I saw this in 1990. It was a first-hand experience for me. But many in our world are seeing it on a daily basis. It's real for them. In the last 100 years or so, there has been 2 major world wars with millions of people dying. Now, as you know, we have the ongoing battle between Russia and Ukraine. People are losing their lives. People are being displaced. They are losing their homes. Families are being broken up because of war, because of the wickedness of the heart of man. We have the war between Israel and Palestine. Again, people are losing their lives. Again, people are being displaced. Families are being broken up. And so, my brother, my sister, we are living in a world that is marked by hatred, violence, and death. A world that is full of war, full of wickedness, full of evil. But this morning, the Bible reminds us here in Ephesians chapter 6, it reminds us of another battle that is closer to home, that is closer to our hearts. You and I are not close to the battle between Israel and Palestine. You and I are not close, geographically speaking, to the battle between Russia and Ukraine, or between wars and civil wars that are taking place in countries. We are not close to that geographically. But there is a battle that is close to home this morning. And it is a battle that happens in our hearts. It's a spiritual battle, and it happens to every single Christian. We all fight this battle on a daily basis, my brother, my sister. The Christian battle. And this is the kind of battle that the Apostle Paul is writing about here in Ephesians chapter 6. And so if you are a Christian this morning, for those of us here in the congregation, for those who may be watching this video later on, if you are a Christian, if you have truly surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, if you truly, genuinely live for Him, then you and I are involved in this battle. The battle, the Christian's battle. And so I trust this morning as we look at God's word from this passage, Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 20, that the Lord will encourage you and I as we understand a little bit more about this battle, that He'll encourage you and I in our walk with Him. So as we look at the passage very briefly, I want to draw your attention to five truths that we can pick up from this passage. Firstly, I want you to notice that the Christian life is a battleground and not a playground. We need to remember this. It's very important. We must never ever forget this truth. The Christian life is a battleground, not a playground. You see, on the playground, one becomes comfortable. We relax. We take it easy. We drop our guards on the playground. We are comfortable. But my brother, my sister, on the battleground, one needs to always be alert and ready for warfare. That's the reality of the battleground. Ask any soldier and he will tell you that. On the battleground, we always alert. We are ready for action. We are ready for warfare. The Christian life is a battleground, not a playground. The sad reality, my brother, my sister, is that many, many Christians live their lives with a playground mentality instead of a battleground mentality. And so this morning, we need to remember that this battle is real. Have a look there at verse 12 again. It is a real battle. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. It is a real battle, my brother, my sister. The sad reality is that many, even Christians, doubt the existence of this battle just because they cannot see it. Just because we cannot see the spiritual battle does not mean that it is not real, that it does not exist. And so we can do a short experiment this morning. How many of us can see the oxygen that we breathe? Can any one of us see the oxygen that we breathe? No, we can't. But how do we know that oxygen is real? If I told you this morning oxygen is real, how do you know that it's real? You can't see it, but yet we believe it's real. How do we know that? Well, because we're still alive. If there was no oxygen, we would die. And so it's the same with this Christian battle, my brother, my sister. Just because we cannot see it it doesn't mean that it is not real. You see, Jesus knew the reality of this battle, therefore he endured the cross. Jesus didn't go to the cross because he just wanted to go to the cross, because he thought maybe, well, it's a good thing to do. No, he went to the cross because of this battle. He went to the cross so that he may win the victory for our salvation. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. On the cross, the enemy has been defeated. Jesus has won the victory. We praise the Lord for that. But there still remains a daily battle we must fight. Even though the victory has been won, there is a daily battle that you and I must fight. We have this battle with our sinful nature. Yes, God the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. The things that we desire to do to please the Lord, we do not do them, the Apostle Paul tells us. Instead, we do the things that are contrary to what God wants us to do. It's a daily battle. It's true for me. I'm not sure if it's true for you, but it's true for every single Christian. There is this battle that is taking place in our lives between these two natures. And so we crucify the sinful nature every single day. There's a battle in this broken, fallen, sinful world. This wicked world system. There's a battle between the Christian and this world system. And of course, there is a battle between God's people and Satan, the enemy of God's people. And so, my brother, my sister, we are reminded this morning that the Christian life is a battleground and not a playground. And the battle is very, very real. We must never, ever forget that. But secondly, we're also reminded, verse 10, that the enemy is real. The enemy is real. Notice the Apostle Paul says here that the enemy is not physical. In other words, the enemy is not other people. People are not our enemy. He says instead, the enemy is spiritual, the devil. The devil who uses people to carry out his wicked schemes, just like he used Judas to betray the Lord Jesus. The enemy is real. Genesis chapter 3 reminds us that the devil is crafty. He's crafty. And his number one strategy, my brother, my sister, his number one strategy is to convince people that he does not exist. That's his number one strategy. For if he can convince someone that he is not real, that he has just been made up by the church, if he can convince people that he is not real, people will drop their guard. And they will say, well, if he's not real, why bother about him? Why should I have my guard up against him? And so he has convinced many, many people in our world today. Hundreds of millions of people. Satan has convinced them that he is not real. And sadly, my brother, my sister, even some people in the church today as well. There are many who come to church, but they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ because Satan has convinced them otherwise. He convinces us that he is not real. And if we fall into the trap of believing that lie, we let our guard down. And the moment we let our guard down, he pounces upon us. He is like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. My brother, my sister, I trust that you and I today here in Venturia, that we will remember that the Christian life is a battleground, not a playground, that the enemy is real, that the battle is real, and that we need to be ready for warfare. Well, secondly, the Apostle Paul reminds us that we need to be conditioned for battle. And he says so in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Listen to his words. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. And those are important words. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. You see, in the battle, the most effective soldier is the one who has taken effort to condition their bodies well. Isn't that true? Often, this intense training will require a soldier to put his body under intense stress so that he can adapt easily on the battleground. Sometimes it would mean for the soldier going without food or going without water or going without sleep for a prolonged period of time so that he can condition his body, so that when he's on the battleground and there's no food, he's able to adapt. When there's no water, he's able to adapt. When he needs to stay awake for a longer period of time, he's able to adapt. He has conditioned his body. And friends, the same is true for our Christian walk as well. A godly Christian is a victorious Christian. But godliness, my brother, my sister, is not part of our human nature. Godliness is not part of our human nature. Ungodliness is part of our human nature. Therefore, Paul reminds us that we need to train ourselves to be godly. It doesn't come naturally. There's hard work involved. Training the physical body doesn't come naturally. I haven't done much training. You can see that. It doesn't come naturally. We have to work hard at it. And it's the same for being spiritually conditioned for our battle as well. And the way we train our body or our souls or our hearts, our spirit, is by taking our eyes off the things of this world and focusing them on the things that matters to God. And Paul reminds us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things." So how is it that we condition ourselves for this battle, for the spiritual battle? We do so by setting our hearts and our minds on things above, where Christ is seated. The things that matter to God must be the things that matter to us. The things that makes the heart of God beat must be the same things that make our heart beat. The things that bring heartache to the heart of God must be the same things that bring heartache to you and I as well. And in doing so, my brothers and sisters, we condition ourselves to face this battle that we are daily involved in. And so, my brother, my sister, to ask you this morning as you examine your own heart, it's not between you and the other person sitting next to you, a brother, sister, a mom or dad, it's between you and the Lord. Is your heart conditioned for battle? Are you being victorious in this battle, or are you being defeated in the battle right now? We need to be conditioned, train ourselves in godliness. Do the hard work is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Well, thirdly, he reminds us of the importance of being focused in the battle. Verse 13 of Ephesians 6, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand." I have never been in a battle. I have never fought in a battle. But I do know that the goal of every soldier is to remain standing. Isn't that true? The goal of every soldier at the end of the day, at the end of the battle, is to remain standing, because a standing soldier is a victorious soldier. And therefore, we must be able to stand in our walk with the Lord. But in order for us to do this, we need to remain focused in the battle. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. "No one serving a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer." He is focused. He knows what he needs to do. He knows the commands his commanding officer has given him, and he remains focused to that. And so, my brother, my sister, in our walk with the Lord, we must not get distracted. We must not become sidetracked in the battle, no matter how strong the temptation may be to look to the left, to look to the right. We must not get sidetracked and distracted. The writer to the Hebrews reminds us that we must fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Where Jesus is, fix your eyes on him. Do not look to the left. Do not look to the right. Do not swerve from here to there. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And as long as we are fixing our eyes on Jesus, we will be focused in the battle. Because that is where our strength comes from. Our strength comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Jesus first, my brother, my sister, in everything that we do. Everything else second, the Lord Jesus Christ first. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Do not take your gaze off the Lord Jesus. Well, fourthly, the apostle reminds us in verse 10 that God has equipped us for this battle. God does not send us into battle without the proper equipment. A soldier going into battle without the proper equipment is a defeated soldier already before he steps onto the battlefield. But the Lord has equipped us. Verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with a readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God has equipped us for battle. He makes available to us his strength. We are not fighting this battle with our own strength. If we do so, we are already defeated. We are fighting this battle in the strength of the Lord and in his mighty power. We are not depending on ourselves, my brother, my sister. Do not think that you and I are so strong and powerful that we are able to defeat the enemy just by ourselves, that we are able to overcome temptation just in our own strength. If we do so and if we live like that, we will be defeated Christians. No. We put on his strength, the strength of the Lord, his mighty power. That almighty power God has made available to you and I as Christians. He says, be strong in my strength, in my strength. The same power that brought the universe into existence is the same power that is available to you and I as Christians. God says it's there, it's available. Use it, use it. He makes available to us his perfect armor. Notice there, Paul doesn't say put on your armor. He says put on the armor of the Lord. It's God's armor, his perfect armor, designed and crafted for by him for each one of us. And then he says we need to put on the full armor. Don't leave pieces of the armor out. Don't think, well, the breastplate of righteousness, well, this is too heavy. You know, I'm not going to be able to move well in warfare if I have this heavy breastplate on. Let me take that off, rather. Let me keep the other equipment on. Or this helmet, you know, I can't look left and right when I'm fighting the enemy. It's in my way. Let me take it off and put it one side. No, God says we must not do that. He says, put on his armor, put on the full armor of God. The full armor of God. Don't leave out any piece thinking that it is unnecessary. Put on the full armor, my brother, my sister. And then lastly, verse 18. God has equipped us for battle. God has empowered us for battle. Verse 18. and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray for me also that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. God has empowered us for battle. Someone once said that for a Christian, prayer is like breathing. It should come naturally. The sad reality, however, is that many Christians have perfected the art of holding their spiritual breath. They prayed today on a Sunday, and they hold that spiritual breath until next Sunday when they will pray again. Can you imagine trying to swim underwater, holding your breath for a whole week like that? We'll die. We are designed to breathe oxygen. We are designed to pray, to talk to God every moment of the day. Paul says, pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. Don't hold that spiritual breath. It must come naturally to you and I, my brother, my sister. Whenever the Lord Jesus prompts us to pray, we must pray. We don't say to ourselves, listen, later on, during my quiet time, I will pray. Or when I go to a prayer meeting at church, I'll pray. No, the Lord prompts you to pray for something or someone. You can pray then and there. We need to always be praying. Don't hold that spiritual breath. He says, pray in the Spirit. Always be ready to pray. When God prompts you and I, we must be ready to pray. Pray for all Christians. We pray for each other in this church. It's very important that we pray for our brothers and sisters in the church we meet. And I'm so thankful that you have been praying for our ministries, the five C's, because in praying for the five C's, you are praying for brothers and sisters in Christ. Keep on praying for us. We pray for you. We have been praying for the ministry of this church. We've been praying that God will lead the right full-time pastor to this church, the right man to take up the job. Ever since we heard of it, we've been praying for you. And so we must continue to pray for each other. And then he says, pray for Christian leaders. Pray for the pastor of your church. Pray for the leadership of your church. Pray for other Christian leaders. It's important we do that. Pray for Christian politicians who are involved in our countries. Pray that God would use them to bring about change, to bring about conviction. Interestingly here, this great apostle Paul says, pray also for me. When we think of Paul, we think of this giant man of faith, this giant apostle who was fearless in everything he did. But he says, I only do it because people pray for me. So pray, my brothers and sisters, we pray. Pray that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. And that is something that you and I are called to do as well. Fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. Evangelism is in so short supply in the church today. The other day I was standing in line in In-N-Out Burger in Irvine. And a gentleman came behind me. He didn't know me. I don't know him. He came behind me and he said, listen, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. I thought he was going to ask me about the specials they were having there. But he says, what do you think about Jesus? And I was taken back a minute because people don't do that anymore. But then I was so surprised, you know, to actually find somebody who's still doing it. And that's fantastic. And we need to keep on doing it. What do you think about Jesus? My brother, my sister, in all honesty, when was the last time you and I asked someone that? Our friends at school, our work colleagues, our family members. What do you think about Jesus? You know, evangelism is in so short supply in the church. And we need to get back to that, my brother, my sister. Pray for one another so that when God gives us the opportunity to share Jesus, we will do so boldly. In other parts of the world, the moment you mention Jesus, you're arrested. You're put in jail. Pray for those people. You know, times are changing in our country. It's changing here, changing in South Africa. Soon we won't be able to speak about Jesus. But for now, we have the freedom to do so. So let's speak about Jesus. Let's speak about the Lord Jesus, because it's only the Lord Jesus by His Spirit that can change the hearts of people. And so as we wrap up this morning, we're reminded of this battle, the Christian battle. The Christian life is a battleground, not a playground. It's real. The enemy is real. We are reminded that we need to be conditioned for battle. Train yourself to be godly. We're reminded to remain focused in battle by fixing our eyes on Jesus. We're reminded that God has equipped us for battle. He's given us His mighty strength. He's given us His armor. We need to put on the full armor. We're reminded that God has empowered us for battle. And that power comes through prayer. And so as I close this morning, how are you doing in your walk with the Lord? Can you say in your heart of hearts, yes, I am strong in my walk with the Lord? Or maybe you're not sure this morning. Well, I trust that you will have some time later on to reflect upon God's word, to go through this passage again, or to listen to the video again, whatever it may take, and to reflect on your life. And to ask the Lord Jesus to help you in those moments when you are weak, when you have given up in the battle, and to strengthen you, to encourage you, so that you may be victorious. So that you and I may be victorious and not defeated. Come, let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word this morning. What a great reminder it is of this battle that we are facing. And Lord, we are not doing so in our own strength. We are doing so in the strength that you have given us. Help us, Lord, to fix our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us, Lord, to be victorious and not defeated. Help us to be prayer warriors. Help us, Lord, not to be ashamed and afraid to speak to Jesus, to speak to family members, friends about the Lord Jesus, to share the gospel. Help us, Lord, to be strong in our walk with you. Help us, Lord, to be able to stand and to remain standing. In Jesus' name and for His name's sake we pray. Amen.